Hello, Audio Boo. It's Thursday night. Why am I booing on a Thursday night rather than in the morning? I don't know. I just thought it was time for a catch-up. Been down in Winchester this week on business. I'm still going to be busy in the office. Got a client coming up for 2 days next week to go through some stuff. So that's going to be make sure we get that done before Christmas and out of the way. Tiring journey. And back in one piece last night, but at least I managed to do some of my OU work on the train. That was what I was going to talk about as well. So it's this section I've been on spending about intellectual property law, copyright, and patent law, and it's fascinating. It's really engaged my interest. It's interesting looking at the developments in technology. There's this famous case in 1984 where the Motion Picture Association of America took Sony to court to try and stop them selling VCR machines, which it seems absolutely phenomenal now. I think the president of the MPAA, Jack Valenti, said that selling video machines was like the Boston Strangler preying on women in Boston, some hyperbolic statement like that. But now, with hindsight, the movie industry makes more from sales of videos and DVDs and now Blu-rays and streaming services than it does through cinemas. So technology changes, and that affects the revenue stream from copyrighted works. It's interesting as well, looking at copyright terms, the Gowers Review, the British government commissioned a report into copyright in 2006, and some of the evidence quoted in that said that the ideal copyright term should be 7 years, and some other economists say 25 years as a maximum, which is a big difference from the 70 years that's sort of been banded around, and extensions to that even. So this is a consequentialist argument that basically you look at the revenue from works, and very few copyrighted works make any money after 7 or 10 years. You can plot it on a graph and you'll see, you know, a spike on sales that rapidly goes down. And when you look at things like books and albums and even CDs, they tend to go out of print. So the only place that you're going to get a book is secondhand. And obviously that's not going to make any money for the creator. But the difference with digital works is that you can keep selling them for a very low marginal cost to hold an archive of digital material. So there's a longer revenue stream. It's called the long tail of marketing. You can see, if you plot it on a graph, the stream goes on and on and on. But even so, there's very few works that actually make a significant amount of money. But these tend to be things like big motion pictures and records by mega stars and mega rock bands. Your average artist doesn't really see that. So this is why the recording industry and the Motion Picture Association are so keen on long-term copyright, even though it holds works in copyright for well after they are profitable for the vast majority of works. So yeah, interesting debate there. Because the argument, or what I would say is, I'm not really bothered about the revenue stream of big stars, but I'd like to support artists that people that I know and like. So particularly like Nat Johnson, I've bought her album recently. I like Fold as well. They're another band from Leeds. They do some excellent stuff. And, of course, the fabulous John Otway, who's had a chart career spanning 25 years, as he famously says, which is one record in 1977 and one 25 years later. But he's carved out a career from playing gigs up and down the country, and I've seen him lots and lots of times. And well worth seeking out if he's ever near you. But the reason I bring him up is because he's got a Christmas single out, and I'm just going to play a little bit of it if I can get organised on my iPad. And I would urge you to either buy it or go and have a look at the video on YouTube, which is absolutely bonkers. It's he bought himself a Sinclair C5 and flew it out to some snowy place in the north and had it pulled by a team of dogs. So it's, yeah, words can't do it justice. Go and have a look at that. But yeah, it'd be nice if he got into the charts. If I mean, I don't think he's going to be Christmas number one up against X Factor and all of that. But a third hit would be nice. Yeah, and just to reminisce as well, actually, was the second hit. I was part of the planning behind that, or with the fans arranging to all go out and buy it on the day it's released to get it into the charts, and fighting against Woolworths who refused to stock it and even printed up their charts early with denying its existence, even though it got to number 7. So, yeah, that's how you go and rig the charts. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to, and that's all I'm going to say for tonight. So I shall close it there and post this, and I hope you all have a nice weekend, and it's Christmas next week, so that's to look forward to as well. So speak to you all again soon.